Okay. Let us prepare for puja. Compose our mind, develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, suramiraya majapama tatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarpa dithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mathena cha hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang. Adivasetuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang Adivasetuno bante pale parikapitang pale par oh sorry anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang Adivasetuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang. Let us now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of the pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Padang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. You can be seated. And we can off the light and proceed with the meditation straight away, yeah? Because all of you have been here for quite a while. Yeah? So just relax body and mind, silence your mind, then relax and meditate. The main thing is just to remain silent. Don't even try to know. Just relax and allow the mind to settle down. By now, your sati and your faith should be very strong. So sadha leading to virya, you will develop the mindfulness. What you need to do is to just stabilize the mindfulness. Then your understanding will arise. Sati and samadhi will bring forth the understanding. And this has to be done in the midst of life, daily mindfulness. So our training here is to stabilize it. Yeah. By now, most of you should already have some form of stability. But you can stabilize it until there is no thinking, no movement, nothing. Just a relaxed state of silence. Initially, the thought will arise, just let it be. Whatever that is of the nature to arise, is of the nature to cease. Then when you can clearly understand the universal characteristic, you just allow it to be. Then the allowing will do away with the craving, do away with the mental hindrance of like and dislike, seeking for good meditation and all those things, all this will fade away. The meditative training is to have a mind that is no longer seeking, a mind that is contented, silent, relaxed, peaceful. Yeah. That silence can only come when you have full understanding. Initially, you need stability or sati. So, to have the stability or sati, maybe you need to develop some form of training. You can use whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with. Stay with the object until it becomes very quiet, very still. Then you will reach the stage where we call the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is paucity. That is the meditative mind. The silent mind, the tranquil mind, the still mind is meditative mind. When there is no thinking, no mental activity, no mental aggregates arising from there, that is your meditative mind. That is your true mind. Then for those who already stabilize, you can easily silence. The moment you relax, maintain awareness, you will be in that state of silent mind. And for those who know how to relax and just lie down, you will become very stable. Straight away, you will be in that state of sati, leading to samadhi. Without that stability, daily mindfulness is very difficult. You have to train until the mind is in sati. When the mind is in sati, it's just aware. It doesn't do anything. Then the silent mind, the tranquility and stillness of mind will become very stable. Then when the mind is in sati, when you come out of it, or any of the slightest movement, you will be fully aware. Then you can determine to allow your awareness to be anywhere. That mind that is silent is very sensitive. If you move it to your breath, you will be able to detect the breathing, even though it's no longer breathing. The subtle breathing, or little or no breathing, because your mind is in sati, he will still detect it, and he will become very calm, very still, very quiet. So there is meditation. Then any slightest movement is like magnified. Then any of your movement, vibration, become very clear. You move it to your heart area, you will feel the heartbeat. You will feel the vibration everywhere. Then you just silent and be with it. Don't try to know. When sati develop and stabilize, you will be able to carry it into the daily life. And when you are mindful most of the time throughout the day, that is the beginning of satipatthana, the four foundation of mindfulness, the real cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. Then you follow the satipatthana. After anapanasati or whatever training, after you stabilize the mindfulness, you develop determination to be mindful of the four posture, standing aware, sitting aware, then walking aware, lying down aware, then the in-between movement to turning, stretching, bending, whatever activity. Fully aware, looking forward, aware. The moment of sense experience, aware. As you develop more and more of this, you will become very sensitive. Initially, all of your physical movement, kaya nupasana, you will be aware. The turning of your hand, the bending, the stretching, even your eye, when you blink, you are also aware. Then you are aware of your mind state very clearly. When you retain a radiant smile, you are aware. When there is any sense experience agitating you, you are aware. The moment you are aware, the mental hindrance of like and dislike, your habitual tendency of reaction and stirring will cease to be, because the awareness will free you. Then the awareness will remind you of the four support for meditation. Then you will know how to relax into every mind state. After relax, you maintain awareness, silent, that's it. And that is the real meditation. When you are silent, that meditative mind can awaken. It can understand many, many things. Then all of the other training of the four foundation of mindfulness will come in. After your daily mindfulness become very clear, very stable, you will see your mental intention very clearly, and you will be very sensitive to all the feelings that arise upon contact, upon sense experience. Then after that, not only the feeling, whatever content of consciousness through your views, opinion and conditioning that creates the movement, you will be fully aware. Then later on, you will be aware of all the Dhamma that the Buddha talked about, starting from the five mental hindrances. You will see them, you will be aware of them. Then the five aggregate of form and mind, every moment of perception, every moment of feeling, every moment of consciousness, every moment of its activity, movement, mind state, everything, you'll be fully aware. Then mental object or mind object that comes in through perception, the mental form, you'll be fully aware. Then how the reaction and the stirring from your views and opinion, you'll be fully aware. Then how they arise, how they pass away, through the six senses, internal and external sense bases, you'll be fully aware. Then after that, you will also be aware of your seven factors of enlightenment. Then finally, Dhamma Nupassana will develop the understanding of the Four Noble Truths. Initially, you will insight into phenomena to awaken to the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, which is impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature of all phenomena or all existence. So all this is what meditation is all about. Okay, I'll let you meditate for the next 15 minutes. After that, I'll ring the bell. Then slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. The trained mind that is already in sati, the meditative mind, is very important. When you have stabilized the mindfulness, use it to develop the daily mindfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, especially the four foundations of mindfulness. Then determine to be mindful throughout the day. If you don't determine, very difficult to be mindful, because split second the mindfulness will go away. Yeah. And if you need to interact with people, you can still develop mindfulness. Yeah. But if you don't determine to be mindful, the awareness within will not stabilize. When you determine to be mindful, every time you are aware that you are not mindful, then you develop the mindfulness again. As you continuously develop it, then mindfulness will become a new way of living life. Then from the normal heedless living, you will transform and become heedful. And as you have this ability to be mindful, the mind that is mindful, that is trained, will take care of your karma, take care of your practice, take care of your cultivation. Everything will fall into place. But without sati, the first factor of enlightenment cannot arise. Without sati, you cannot meditate. Without sati, you cannot investigate Dhamma. Everything that is required to cultivate the 37 factors of enlightenment, sati is repeated many places. So sati is key. This is the spiritual faculty that is the most important. So keep that in mind. Now turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sada Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayam Badanta
Bhagava Arahang Sammah. sambuddho vicacarana samparano sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavato sakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko opanaiko pachatang veditadbo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasanggo ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasanggo nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasanggo samicipatipanno bhagavato sakkasanggo yatidang cattari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasanggo ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anutara punyang ketang okasati sadu sadu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Buddha. Padang pajami. Damang pajami. Sanghang pajami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have. You can ask them. Okay, we will open it up for meditation reporting and Q&A. Anybody wants to report meditation? Just raise your hand or ask any question or any topic that you want to discuss. By now I think it should be clear as to how to develop the meditation leading to the cultivation. Is it clear? If not clear, we can discuss this topic, but this topic is very important.
When I'm alone, I think it's easier to cultivate the silent mind or the sati.
Correct. Yes.
But when I interact with people or people come and talk to me, when they talk, maybe we still can aware.
Okay.
And then sometimes just knowing that they are talking. But when I reply back, it's quite difficult to have the sati to interact with them.
Very good. Thanks. So this is what a cultivator will ask. That's why I rejoice. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why you don't develop the cultivation. There is no condition for my nature to share, like I used to share with you last time. What this nature understands is a lot more. It cannot come obvious if you are not there, or nobody is doing that thing, unless the non-human want to know. That's why sometimes in the sharing, those things come out. But if you want to develop the true understanding of meditation and cultivation, you have to do it. Then, like MB, he not sure know how to ask. When you can reach that stage that he has control, it's already very good. And it's really not easy. Yeah? And this will create a condition for me to explain. What I want you all to understand is how to train your mind to develop the meditative mind, then use it to cultivate. But before you train and use it to cultivate, you need to go through phase one of the Dhamma. Remember? Pariyatti. That's why you have to spend time listening to the audio file, read the Heart Sutta, then go through the essential Dhamma. Write them down, summarize them. If you are lazy, then just use the Heart Sutta as a guide. Then when you reach certain point after you read through the Heart Sutta, certain chapter, you understand, close the book, take out some sheets of paper, try to recall all this understanding. You cannot write it down, you cannot cultivate, where you still don't understand. That's why to cultivate is very important. So the first thing that you need to develop is the meditative mind, the silent mind. Is that clear? So how do you do it? For Ingbi, because over the last few years, she has the understanding and she can do the lying down and all things. So to have that silent mind when she's alone is very easy. So that is already by itself a great progress, because very few people can have the silent mind. When we talk about the silent mind, it's a free mind, not in concentration, not in jhana, not in a conditioned state. So that one is very important. And when you are in that state of a silent, then only you can develop the daily mindfulness. Then like her case, she said, most of the time when alone, this state is there. But she tried to communicate, interact. And this is the training of the real daily mindfulness. That's why I used to share with you, initially start with your daily activity at home, where you are in more control. Then later on, as you develop the stability to be mindful most of the time throughout the day in your house, move it out to your house when you want to go to office. Even if you retire, you still need to drive the car to buy things or what, understand? As you move out. Sometimes early morning when I wake up, I just relax, exercise a bit. Everything is done with mindfulness. Then the mind is very free. Then you walk out, you will look at nature. It was silent, perceived nature. Then as all this stabilized, it will start to look at people, like the Buddha said, standing aware, looking forward, aware. That is what you have to train. Then turning, bending, stretching, all this you will come to know. Then your activity, physical activity, your movement of your hand, then your blinking of your eye, your smile, your love, your kindness, your compassion, your virtue, everything you aware. Aware means from inside, that awareness, the mind, is aware. When you can develop that stability, even as you look forward, like the Buddha said, bending, turning, stretching, or looking forward, hearing, listening, silent, everything, the whole lot of phenomenal, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, that mindfulness is with it. That's why you have to develop the stability until the mind is in sati. And when your mind is in sati, you still need to train. We are like, you know, after you can do it when you are alone, you need to interact. interaction can happen in many circumstances. I remember when I started, the moment I start my car, even how I get the key remote, how I actually trigger off the remote to open up the car, fully aware. Then as I walk, the thought try to come, but it's fully aware of what that habitual thinking is all about. Then later, the nature realize, no point. When you walk, you just walk. That's why it become more and more aware. And when there is more and more awareness of the moment, that thinking ceases by itself. Hardly any thinking. Then as the hand moves there, when you are aware, you cannot think. Then how it tied the handle, how it opened up, and how your body move in, your leg, and all those awareness. Then how your hand move and close the door. Then how you insert the car key. Now the new car, no car key. How your hand go for the button to start the ignition. Then how you adjust your seat if you need to. If the car you always drive, then you don't need to. You just check the mirror. Then your hand, fully aware. Then how you engage your gear. Then how you reverse everything, you're fully aware. Then your senses are fully engaged. You can maintain awareness. And you are very mindful. And when you drive with that mind, you are very, very different. You hardly make mistake. You almost cannot make mistake. Because you're fully aware. A lot of things become very clear to you. So that is the initial interaction with society, with traffic, where your senses are fully engaged. Then as you park your car, same. How you come out, how you walk to your office, how when you see people, the interaction and all those things, you are fully aware. Of course, initially, you will come to realize, the moment you talk, like we say, it's very difficult to maintain awareness inside the silent mind. But don't have to maintain. Initially, just be natural. Just maintain awareness. Try your best. And this will stabilize because it's a training. As you develop it more and more, especially in the office. I remember I started by going to my room. Then if I arrive early, I will lock my door. I will meditate for at least half an hour. Sometimes I arrive 45 minutes earlier. Then I will meditate for about 30 minutes. Then 5 minutes before office, I will open the door on the light. Then I will sit and start my paperwork, fully aware. Then the phone ring. Sometimes the intercom or what. Then the secretary come in and all things. Then my staff come in. So fully aware. Interact with them, no problem. What is important is you are aware from within. When you are aware from within, you can listen attentively. Then when you listen, you will understand what they say. You are not trying to recall to memory. You are listening attentively to what they say. You don't assume. You don't preconceive. Nothing. So you have clarity. Then you will know how to tell this particular style or the particular person. But if you try to perceive what he say, or try to use your conditioning to understand, you are not listening. You remember the art of listening. When you truly listen, you are completely silent. There is no interference from the memory. There is no interference from your conditioned mind. Your belief system, your view. You like have a free mind, just listen attentively. Sometimes it may be repeated thing, but you don't go and ask you, this guy again repeat what he's trying to do. No, you just listen. Then you will know whether it's a repeated thing or what, but you have clarity at that time. Then your reply will be different because it's spontaneous through understanding. You can feel that person. You can understand the person. You will know what they need. Then that goodness, the kindness, which is your understanding, will manifest. So acting according to memory and your conditioning, views and opinion is not acting at all. Like I always remind you all. So what you need to do is you have to act according to understanding, which is wisdom, which is true action. So your understanding is your ability to feel people, to understand people. When you understand yourself, you will understand others. That's why you need mindfulness. You need the essential Dhamma. You need to stabilize this understanding in your own self. Then only you can act with that understanding. And then it becomes easy. Then you don't have to, like what we initially go through. A lot of people make this mistake. For me, my nature, because I did it in the past. That's why I don't have such a problem. I don't have to try to maintain the silent mind. That trying is by the thought. The thought wants to be quiet. When there is this one thing, you cannot be natural. You cannot do things with understanding. So forget about trying to be silent when you are in the midst of interaction with people. Initially, forget about it. Just maintain the understanding of trying to understand people and maintain the awareness within. When you are aware, you can feel him, you can understand him. Because this conditioning is not interfering. You are seeing them for what they are, as they are. And you are listening attentively. That's why you can understand them. Then sometimes I will feel it. Then I say, it's okay, don't panic. You can even tell them, don't panic. Yeah, come to my office, sit down. Then slowly tell them to repeat what is the thing that is disturbing them or worrying them or bothering them. Then sometimes my staff got problem, they come back, they panic. He said, Mr. Teo, we got a situation. I said, don't worry. Whatever thing that happened, you perceive it with wholesomeness, there is no problem. Everything can be resolved. We just have to understand it, then make a decision and move on. So when there is no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more mental hindrance, the spiritual faculty will continue to manifest. And this is a very important understanding. Spiritual faculty means the awareness. Your faith, your understanding will give you that ability to be peaceful, to be composed, to be calm. Then the awareness will make you mindful. Then the awareness together with the stability will give you the clarity of mind to make good decisions, to understand, to feel, to be sensitive, to develop the understanding. That's why as you interact with people, as you understand the world and people more and more, you understand yourself more and more too. Then the understanding will continue to unfold and give rise to the ability to act according to understanding. Without the understanding, you cannot act. You try to act according to what your memory tells you. Oh, Brother Teo say like that. The Buddha say, I must be aware. I must have the silent mind. So all this is still the thought coming back through the back door, the conditioning. Forget about the thought. The thought will tell you a lot of funny things. Am I doing it correctly? How come after so long in meditation, I still got anger? I still got fear? I still look very stupid? All this is the thought. Forget about it. What is important in cultivation is three things, like I always say. First, you must have the faith. I write down better, huh? You must have the faith. The saddha must be very strong. Then no more doubt. Then second is sincerity. When you are sincere, you will definitely not deviate. Your cultivation will be very, very straight. Because this sincerity means you don't have negativity. You are not here to impress people, to deceive people. You are very true, not only to yourself. You are very sincere to the purpose of meditation. That's a sincerity of purpose. The first domain, you remember the four type of clear comprehension when you develop daily mindfulness. Sincerity of purpose is the most important. When you are sincere, means you understand why you want to train this mind. You are here to develop understanding, wisdom, to liberate the mind, to free the mind. so that it can take care of karma, so that it can be a blessing to all, so that this form of mind can be understood. Then with the understanding, you can make use of it to cultivate, to develop the understanding, to be a blessing to all, and to do whatever you want with it. Then after that, the third one is perseverance. Perseverance. Is the spelling correct? Perseverance. R-A. This is A. Okay. Wait. Are you sure it's A? A. I'm not sure. A. Perseverance means you just do. Persevere. Don't doubt. Don't even complain. Don't even want to progress fast and all those things. All these are the thought telling you. Whatever that is triggering off from the thought is always the craving. Yeah. And the craving, you know, is always wrong thought. What is wrong thought? Thought that condition your lack of peace. Yeah. Your evil root. Understand? When you are too eager to progress, what happens? It will create doubt in you, isn't it? You will create unhappiness in you. Isn't it? I have already strived so hard. I really determined to become enlightened. And because your thought keep on telling, hey, you're far away, you still got greed, you still got fear. When you start to listen to the thought, that doubt will enter your subconscious. And this will be accumulated. And this doubt will prevent faith from stabilizing. And this is where a lot of cultivators fail to understand. So when you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching and your teacher, you just allow the faith to develop the understanding. When you have faith, I tell you, that faith will bring forth the understanding. Where everything you listen to, when there is truth, you will understand. It will come in because of the faith. Where the essential Dhamma you already learn under Pariyatti. Then when you are sincere, the sincerity of purpose, you will not deviate. You will not go into psychic field. You will not try to develop things that impress people. You are very true to yourself, very sincere. You develop the mindfulness to develop the cultivation. And to do the cultivation, you must understand the essential Dhamma, which is developed to what they call phase one of Dhamma. That's why in the vow I teach you how to vow life after life. When you come, you have this understanding. To avoid all evil, you must understand what constitutes evil. And you have to go into it. Greed, hatred and delusion. Expand on it. Why did the Buddha say greed, hatred and delusion? And what is the meaning of greed? What is the meaning of hatred? What is the meaning of delusion? Not until you are clear, you cannot cultivate actually. Because the word got no meaning. The understanding of the word is the one that drives the cultivation. Then you will start to see many, many things. Then this faith and sincerity will lead to virya. Virya is the one that drives you to develop the meditation. And this is how the sati, samadhi, leading to panya come. And this is how cultivation stabilizes. Then when panya is there, you have understanding, you have wisdom. Then you can act according to understanding and wisdom. When you are mindful, you are very sensitive. You can feel. You can feel many, many things. You can feel yourself, your own nature, your own virtue, your own goodness, kindness. And this is manifested from the nature. Then the other thing about cultivation is this mindfulness can allow you to understand many, many things. It can help you investigate the Dhamma. It can help you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. It can help you develop the awareness of what constitutes evil. Then arise the four-eye effort to abandon them, to prevent them from arising. Then after you can do the first two, the third and fourth right effort will develop all the virtue, the understanding, the whatever wholesomeness, leading to, of course, the perfection of all of them through the fourth right effort, means to refine upon them and perfect them. Then when this right effort is been done, you will carry within you the right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort constantly cultivating. Then when you develop the purification of mind, you just silent, develop the training of the mind to be aware, silent. Then cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, constantly aware within and without. That's like internally and externally. Initially start with kaya anupasana. It can be anapanasati. Then if you already have the spiritual faculty, technically, the sati is there already. So that part, even anapanasati, you don't really have to do it when you already have the spiritual faculty. Yeah. But during the time of the Buddha, because most people don't have the spiritual faculty, and the Buddha knew, they can maybe get the first two, sadha and virya. But when it comes to sati, this terminology is so difficult to understand. And all the other Hindu practices and other type of religion, they don't have this particular term. They don't have this quality of mind. This is the silent mind, the meditative mind, sati, awareness before the knowing. They don't have this. They only know how to use thought, to focus, to concentrate, to go into deep state of samadhi, or samatha, meditation, and to develop all the jhanic state and other state, the calm, the tranquil, and the stillness, born of conditioned mind. So because of that, before the advent of the Buddha, the spiritual faculty, nobody can really develop it. Especially sati leading to samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. And this one can only be developed if you have the understanding of what. Excuse me. I need to drink. Samadhi is a free mind state that is collected and unwavering without thought. That is the real samadhi. So, collected and unwavering in a free mind state. So, initially it's born of continuous mindfulness. But this mindfulness, you cannot go into apana samadhi. You go into apana samadhi, it will go into a conditioned state, even continuous mindfulness, which was the state I went into when I was in my first year of meditation, when I was in the university, first year, after I met Chief Reverend. Because my anapanasati came by itself after that night meditation. First time I meditated, I went in 4 hours, come on. Then the anapanasati, the breathing was with me all the time. And it was so calm and so still. Then the absorption was so powerful. And the mind like completely secluded itself. Even lightning strike, it can't even revibrate nearby. Inside still, no movement at all. But this is a conditioned state. And I didn't know until I graduated, until I came out to work. Then after I came out to work, you know, after you graduate, you're looking for a job. Then when you start to work, you got less time to do the training of the what they call formal meditation. So as I move into the career field, I realized there is a lot of ambition. The mind has a lot of ambition to be successful in many things. Then someone want to study law, because you compliment my engineering career. Then if someone wants to study financial statement, accounting, MBA, then suddenly this one inside realize, hey, how come this one inside still move? It was not moving for very long. Then that time when I was in the uni, I did a lot of metta, and I did a lot of anapanasati. Then when I realized this, I start to understand why the Buddha said all those were conditioned state, because the analogy of the glass of water with the sediment, the moment you stir it, when there is condition, the dust will arise. Well, these defilements, they are not rooted out. They are all suppressed. There is no condition to arise, dormant, not rooted out, where wisdom is not there. Then later on, I met my first real teacher, Ajayantra. Before that, I met Xuanhua because of the book, the Surangama Sutta and all those things. And all those just because of the past, the condition is just fall into place, then it come. Then when I met Ajayantra, the moment he mentioned about the highest meditation, he just said, we choose aware. Choose aware of every action, every movement in the present moment. And that, he said, is the highest meditation. Straight away the nature, like suddenly, it's in a way like shocked, because I expect something fantastic. Then when he mentioned that, all of a sudden, this one reflected, no wonder in the Satipatthana Sutta, there is this mindfulness of four postures leading to the mindfulness of all action, all movement in the present moment. And then when I connect to that, I develop the faith. Then I realize this is how wisdom can be developed. This is how wisdom can bring about understanding to root out the defilement. Then I reverse my whole cultivation. I just release the anapanasati, come out and determine to be mindful. And he asked, who want to promise? Without hesitation, I just put up my hand. Then he said, you promised the Buddha, you didn't promise me. And from there, I determined. For 2 weeks, I continuously determined to be mindful. And all of a sudden, within the 2 weeks, the daily mindfulness just come. Then when it come, I realize what sati is, not what the book say, not what people do, the noting, all those things. It straight away knew all those were nothing to do with sati. Awareness before the knowing. That's the real sati. That one, you will not be lost in thought. You will not be preoccupied in the thinking and all those things. You will have clarity. That's how you can see things very differently, very clearly. Then when all those were jnana dasana, straight away the nature understand. And nobody taught me. I just know how to develop them. Then the moment I see truth, I understand. Then all this that come later on was because of the past, the inheritance and all those things. Then after you have the understanding, this nature just like what the Buddha did after his enlightenment, he was not keen to teach because this is something completely the opposite of what living beings do, what the normal cultivator do, and what the normal living being think is the truth. Logical is always the opposite. So because of that, this nature also has its understanding, accord and flow. It has no condition, just let things be. That's why for 15 years, it didn't do anything. 1989 to 2004. So coming back to Teng Bi's question, I think by now, you should be clear. Don't try to maintain that, what they call silent mind. Just develop your ability to be aware. That's it. That's why when you have faith, when you are sincere, you just do. You don't worry. Then it will come to you. Just like sati. Initially it's not there. But you just do. How do you do? You can do your bowing. You can do your chanting. Then you can do your walking meditation. But there is formal practice, training. Then after that, you have to come out into your daily life. That's why that trained mind that is in sati, you have to stabilize it in the formal meditation. Then when you stabilize until the mind enters sati, that is the most important. When the mind enters sati, you will know one. Because the awareness that is aware of that sati, the form and mind will know. All of a sudden, you realize everything you do, the mindfulness is there. The mind and the activity become one. Then, because of that sati, you can see your mind very clearly. You can be at the moment of perception, moment of feeling, moment of consciousness, moment of activity of mind, moment of that mind state. That's why you will start to understand the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. Then what is contact? You can be at the moment of contact. Then there is no movement, it's just aware. Then how it moves from there, you can be aware. And that understanding completely transforms you. Then you start to see all your subtle mental intention behind. Then you can feel and see how people's greed manifests. How through their delusion, they manifest that fear, that worry, that anxiety, that sorrow. You can feel them. It's because you already become very sensitive. When you can feel your own mind state, when you can see all this. That's why the Buddha says, mindful internally and externally. That's like kaya nuvasana, aware internally and externally. Means not only you can mindful of your own bodily activity and movement, you can also be mindful of externally, outside phenomena. Means, like I told you, the chakwetel guy. I can silently just see him doing the frying of the chakwetel. It's like my mind is inside him doing all those things without thought. Then later I realize the car that flow by. My awareness and the car move as one. That's how I can tell you it's specific phenomenal awareness, no thought. Then everything just flow. Aware, aware, aware. Then you want to perceive, you perceive, but you won't get lost. Aware, perceive, move. Just aware. Maintain awareness. As long as you are aware here, after a while, you will reach the ability to become so aware until this one becomes so still, silent. Then you can reach that point. But most of the time, if I'm not wrong, because I cannot use my standard case. Well, for me, I developed the cultivation, this nature long ago. Then this line I come, after I connect, within 9 months, my mundane mind collapses. And because of that, this nature just manifests that it's still all the while inside that. That's why I say, when I am sharing Dhamma, whatever that this form of mind do, inside there is no movement at all, still. That's why in the midst of sound, there can be silence. In the midst of activity, there can be stillness. This stillness is all the time there. So that time, like you say, you find it very difficult to maintain silent mind when you interact and talk with you. It's because that stability is not there yet. You don't worry. If you reach this, means you already way beyond. Your bodhisattva way already non-regressing anymore already. So don't have to worry about that or don't look forward to that unless it comes by itself. And it can happen. You never know because of special condition and it can manifest because your faith very strong this life. Then when you actually put in that faith, then you determine through this three things, sadha, then sincerity, then you just do. Persevere. Don't try to know. Everything will unfold. Then because of your parami, kayanamita fan and the sasana, you are able to do so many things. And your virtue, every of your this Tuesday class, Thursday class, or Sunday class, or activity, even the retreat, all things, the parami is beyond your wildest ability to comprehend. And when you invoke the power of this merit, it can become very powerful. then you only have to make sure this understanding goes with your form and mind, life after life when it comes. The right view. That's why the Bodhisattva vow, you have to read, go through it, recite it, understand it until it becomes a part of you, until this understanding is a part of you. If this lie, you cannot get it understood until you don't need to refer to paper. Chances of you having this in future life is very difficult, especially when the sasana is no more. But the consolation is, like I always say, because of the parami you did at the sasana, in future sasana, but it will be very long, very, very long, like the opening verse, 500 million aeons. Maybe the window open one more time. But when the window open, your parami that you cultivate during sasana can actually bring forth the condition for you to have another window. But you miss that one again. Another long haul. That's why you look at Salika Sutta, that six monks that went up the mountain, they determined to share understanding, and whoever get liberated, try to help the rest. One of them become Arahant, finished, no more. Yeah, he is not a Bodhisattva, he cannot come back. The second one, luckily, became an Anagami. But because he is so sincere, he got such sincerity, because he vowed, he determined to look for them. So the four, he looked for them really. And during the next sasana, he was following their birth everywhere. It seems these four monks who didn't make it, died up there, starvation. They all have beautiful birth after that. Always born in the Deva realm. Until Sakyamuni sasana come, then they are born as human. And when they are born as human, they still have karmic negativity and delusion. That's why this guy got to come and talk to them and advise them and say, do you remember? Now the Buddha is here. And this is the vow that we make, the aspiration that we make. Because they were monks during the previous Sammasambuddha. If I'm not wrong, it's Kassapa Buddha. So all this, they will set the condition for you. But if they set the condition for you, you don't have one kalamita like the Anagami to come and bring you back. It's not easy, I tell you. And to look for a Sammasambuddha is very, very, very narrow, narrow window. Really narrow window. The sasana at least can last for 4,000 or 5,000 years. 4,500 years. But the Buddha, Sammasambuddha, when he arrives, he only teach for 45 years. And it's considered quite long. And 45 years is only one small fraction of the sasana. And you are not born during that time. You cannot meet. Then even you got an Anagami friend, you also don't have the condition. So these are the things that you have to bear in mind. That's why instead of depending on all this, you determine through your own understanding, your own parami, your own merits and understanding. You just have to plant the seed of Bodhi firmly within your nature. Then after that, invoke power of merits for you to break the karmic obstruction. Then invoke the power of merit for you to have this type of understanding life after life. And this understanding are nothing but the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. Even the four basic vow is an extension of the advice of the Buddha. When you vow to liberate the limitless living being, is to cultivate love and compassion, is to develop the condition for the form and mind to come back, just in case he suddenly become very, very good in your cultivation, then you progress so fast, you straight away hit arahantship. Then without this vow, you don't have a mind to come back. Because you cannot have rebirth consciousness, no more avijja. So that's why no more becoming, finished. But when you have this vow, the love and compassion will pull out the mind and it can come back. Then after that, the second vow is what? Endure and severe all suffering. And what is that? It's to develop wisdom to endure and severe suffering so that you can free your mind from suffering, so that you can become enlightened. It's just like avoiding all evil, do good and purifying your mind. Yeah. Then after that, the second basic vow is actually the advice of the Buddha to develop the ability to avoid all evil, do good and purify your mind, to have this understanding to severe all suffering, to endure all suffering. After that, the third vow is to perfect the wisdom. That's why to penetrate and perfect all wisdom. And this is an extension of just purification of mind. You know? Purification of mind is just self-salvation, to become an arahant or a saint. Finish. That's it. But when you want to do this work of liberating the limitless living being, you have to have the complete understanding of the Dhamma. That's why the third vow is to perfect your wisdom. Without the perfection of the wisdom, you cannot perfect the 10 parami, the 10 parameters, the fourth vow. So all this is to take you along, to deliver the understanding of the way, the cultivation. So without sasana also, with this understanding, you don't have any problem. Because the Bodhi mind that is being planted together with this vow aspiration that you have determined strongly during the sasana, somehow it will guide you along, take you along. By itself, there will be condition for you to understand the form of mind that come even without sasana. And it will know all this right view. And like you vow never to violate all this law of karma, it will naturally understand. That's why when I was young, I cannot help my mother to kill the chicken. It cannot do one. Even they were hitting the snake, I can't partake. A lot of my friends that time, they were having fun because they got this bamboo stick. And they hit the snake. I tell you, it's a lot of pain. That time I didn't even know anything. I was just 7 or 8 years old. But I can feel that this is not something human beings should do, because that snake is suffering, miserable. And it's group karma. We are a group of them, about 10 of them doing it. I just didn't partake. I just moved away. Then there are many things that your nature will know. You know. That's why this way is the Dhamma way. And the Dhamma way is very unique. We are evolve the understanding of the great nature's law, the Pancha Niyama, that governs life and existence. So the cultivation, when you understand, it becomes very easy, very straightforward. You read through that the second series of the Bodhisattva way and the vow. I just sent out 2 days back, I think. When I came back from Philippines, that one you read through again, you understand. Then I will finish the first, the last two. I think I should do it quite fast because it's more or less the same, except certain other pointers that were differently emphasized. Then from there, the whole of the cultivation will become very clear to you. Then you will benefit tremendously from the understanding. Then you understand the importance and significance of all those aspirations, all those stages of Bodhi mind development, the 5 stages that you have to develop. Essentially, it's just the first 3 stages of Bodhi mind development. And the first one is very simple. First one is what? You just aspire to go this way, and it's so difficult. Just to aspire, but you have to do it with faith, with sincerity, determination. And this aspiration to walk this way will benefit you all the way. You've got nothing to lose because it will not hinder you from becoming enlightened, because the basic vow actually brings about enlightenment. And even when you are enlightened because of the four basic vow, you can still come back and cultivate to perfect your other parami, wisdom and all those things. If without this vow, there is no way the form and mind. And if you are not careful, it will become a hindrance, because that wrong view, that wrong thought will tell you, because that fear comes from the thought, the egoic mind. Wow, are you sure you can take this vow? People say this vow will block you, you cannot become Arahant. Then they go to you, Ajahn Mun, he had to renounce that vow. And all this is doubt, fear, because the thought believes, understand? If you really look at all this, like I used to say, appear logical, but it's always the other way around, it's false. Because who is having this thought? I cannot become Arahant. There is an egoic mind that Atta. So how can that mind that has this egoic mind type of thinking develop the ability to become Arahant? There is craving. There is fear. There is doubt. Then you are in conflict within, without you knowing it. The subconscious mind creates conflict. Like I said, cultivation is very simple. Like the Buddha said, have faith, sadha, virya. Just do, persevere to cultivate sati, samadhi, leading to panya, the spiritual faculty. When the spiritual faculty is there, the cultivation is there. And everything will fall into place. Forget about what people say. Find out for yourself, investigate. Just do it. What have you got to lose when you make those aspirations? You vow to perfect yourself to become Sammasambuddha. And a bodhisattva is an enlightened being that walk the path of Dhamma, to perfect themselves. Your cultivation is way beyond what normal people can do. And this can only be done when you have the understanding of Diamond Sutta, finally. That's why the second stage of Bodhi will bring forth the ability to have the understanding of no-mark cultivation. Then you will have that type of wisdom. When there is this understanding that there is nobody inside the form and mind, there is no self cultivating, there is no living being to be saved, there is no phenomenal life and existence, all this. When the Dhamma has been fully penetrated, the understanding becomes so different. Then that doing, the cultivation, is through understanding that the form and mind is not you. That's why finally you can reach the fourth stage of Bodhi. You can renounce samsara and just do. Time got no meaning at that time. When people say aeons and aeons and aeons, no meaning anymore, because when you can renounce samsara means you completely understood the form and mind is not you. Samsara is not real. But it has its existential truth. That's why life itself has its own Dhamma, has its own reality. And when you understand the condition and the unconditioned, you can come beautifully. Then life can become really, really meaningful, beautiful, and wonderful. Oh, still earlier. Hopefully I've answered your question. If there's anything else you want me to elaborate, you can ask. So the cultivation is very simple, and I rejoice. Then at least there are quite a number of kainamita who can actually develop the silent mind quite stable already, and some of them, the mindfulness, the daily mindfulness are very good. Then that stability can actually become very, very phenomenal when you really determine and do it. Then, like I used to share with you all, we look forward to the day then more and more Kayamita can have this experience, then we can have our own understanding, then we talk about ourselves. Like my last teacher always tell me, till this whole universe, nobody also okay, as long as we can talk, the two of us and now, is it? Then that time, you will have this beautiful understanding that can unfold, because you understand clearly this form of mind is not you. But this is a beautiful vehicle for you to come, karmically conditioned now. And we are so fortunate. That's why this is the golden era, where the sasana is there, and we go through the old and the new. We went through the transition. And the last 20, 30 years, I tell you, the civilization has evolved phenomenally, beautifully, for us to have this good life. And most of us are at the peak of our career or life. Most of you all have completed your career. Many of you have retired. As an MV, one more year to go. Less than 1 year now. Or she okay her own business more easy. What is more important is when you understand this Dhamma, it's not about working anymore. It's about the understanding can unfold what is working. Working is part of life. And life is meditation itself. So everything is Dhamma. So when you understand that, working can be fun. Living life can be fun, meaningful, beautiful. The only problem with the world is when they don't have this Dhamma understanding, they have to confront a lot of suffering, misery, sorrow, lamentation. They have to pay back a lot of karmic negativity. And because of that, they encounter life with a lot of ups and downs. And most people have a lot of negative karmic conditioning. That's how you look at the world. There's a lot of people suffering, having fear, misery. When I was in Philippines recently, I tell you, you will count your blessing that you are born in Malaysia. You have this good life. Here the Philippines, because of many years of mismanagement and misrule by certain leaders, the country is so spread out, many islands, very mountainous, so remote. The population is so huge, 3 times ours. And do you know there are still many, many of these places that are out of reach by the government of Philippines. Even Manila itself, Quezon City, they can't manage. Crime rates are very high. And people are suffering. And the poor are really, really poor. Then there is this island we went to. You saw the horse riding on my wife. It was there. Actually, we hired 10 horses. I was also on it. But they didn't take my photo. I was the second to arrive. So, go up the hill, coming down to the volcano. Very tough ride. Almost 2 hour plus of horse riding. And we had to have terrain, I tell you. And in between, we just rested for a while. About all in maybe 20 minutes or what. So, at least 1.5 hour or 1 hour 45 minutes we are on this horse. And we never ride a horse before. And it's very dangerous actually. But because of good karma, nothing happened. The person who took us there, the Filipino, he himself also didn't know that terrain was so bad and it was so dangerous. Only after the thing, he talked to me. He called me Brother Theo also because Alicia, they all used to call me Brother Theo. Brother Theo, do you know yesterday the horse riding? I tell you, I didn't know it was so bad. If I know, I wouldn't take you all there. See, we were actually riding on very narrow pathway, less than 1 foot wide, you know. Certain area, I think, less than 1 foot wide. And loose soil and a little bit of gravel. Gravel, not sand. Gravel. Loose one. You can't even walk on it. You will slip. We say, halfway, we say, can we don't take the horse and we walk? He said, worse, you will fall more. He said, at least on the horse, you ride on the horse. Then the wife, a bit overweight, I think, the Filipino's wife, when she reached the start point again after that ride, she was completely exhausted. And you know what happened? He went into the unconscious. They were so worried. Then luckily one of the Macau friend who were with us, he know how to tui na, I think. He used the feng yao, rub here, rub, and stimulate the blood flow. He very good, no? He feel the neck area cold, no? Then he knew the blood clot already, going to have a stroke. Straight away, immediately massage her, warm her, then put the feng yao to wake up. And after about 15 minutes, she regained consciousness and okay again. After that, the husband very happy. He said, she will go back to take care of her. That's why for us, we were very lucky. Kenny's mistake, gone. Because the slope is so bad. The moment you fall off the horse, you are gone. Because at our age, cannot. I saw Alicia in front of me, you know. I was riding behind. His horse, because this guy, at first this Filipino also didn't know, because he said the brochure, they ride very nice, you know. He said it's a volcanic boat ride followed by horse ride. And I said, then somebody will hold your horse. So he thought on flat ground, somebody hold your horse. I also thought that, you know. But when we were there, it was not like that. That fellow hold your thing on just to control the horse. The horse really ride on. Then they all sometimes, because the distance is quite far, about 4 kilometers up, 4 kilometers down, and very tiring. He tried to go up the horse with us, no, on my back, no, and the horse was just a pony, you know. How can he take two weight? So I saw one horse in front of me. He kicked the guy out. No. He retaliated the pony. He refused to let him go up. Then I saw him do that. I tell my horse, the guy who followed me, you better come down. He said, okay. Then he also come down. Then further up, he overtake that one. Then I saw Alicia. You know that guy want to go up. When he pressed the horse, the horse, the leg too weak, no, give way, no. Alicia almost fell off, no. Luckily, the first front leg one go down, then the second leg, luckily the horse didn't roll down. Very dangerous, actually. But somehow, nothing happened. Then Freddy, lucky best, he said last time, I tell you, he really got phobia on. He dare not ride on. The first experience already make him very, very sick and with a lot of traumatic memory. He very scared of horse riding. But this time he was so happy. You know. He came down after that. He told me, "Brother, thank you so much." I said, "Why?" He said, "Your meditation very good. Relax." He said, "This time I relax." There was no fear at all. He said he enjoyed the ride. he relaxed. When you have fear, that subconscious fear actually will knock you out. Then he got panic attack and all those things. The first time he said, "This time is very good." He said, "Wow, the meditation really helped." He said that word relax was very important. After that, no more fear. I said, "Yeah, you should understand. Really, there is no more fear, because you just relax silently." And their hand all bruised, no. My hand, nothing happened. because I know how to flow and accord with it. Then I just let him do whatever he want. But of course, I still hold on to there's a handle. Then they didn't teach us to hold to the back. No, there's a strip at the back to balance ourselves. No. So every time he go up, he just know two English words, lean forward and lean backward. I tell you, hello, dangerous. So lean forward, luckily, I use my leg. There's these two that strike, then I lean forward. But lean backward, how? The horse is going all the way down. How you lean backward? That's why I had to put my leg around there. And there's no string for you to pull the horse. No. You have to hold on to the string. So we have to flow and God. But we were lucky that nothing happened. And most of them are very, very elderly. Of course, me and my wife was the oldest. The rest younger than us by a few years. So in a way, you have your karma, your nature. You are okay. But don't take that risk. I advise you, if you're given a chance, don't. If it's like that one, don't. Flat one maybe, because pretty dangerous. I told my wife, I say, it's meant to be an experience. It's not something we wanted, but the condition is such. It was actually an experience, so that you understand what this thing is. And there was really no fear, nothing. Even when I saw the slope and all those things, what is it? Condition like that means things will be like that. Meant to be will be, and you strengthen your faith, because when you understand your nature, you have faith in yourself. You just allow it to be. Because people willing to take us there, he was so sincere, so kind, so generous, and he paid for all of us, the company. Hotel was so free. Then air ticket also, Alicia refused to collect money from us. So I only bring pocket money. And good food, they took us. Then I understand the history and culture of Philippine more. They were invaded, colonized by the Spanish, then later hand back to the Americans and all those things. Then their present president. The president before this Duterte was very good. The Aquino's son, the 6 years he ruled, he bring a lot of changes to Philippines. That's why you need good garments. Okay, any other reporting or meditation or question? Or any topic you want to develop understanding? Yeah, yes. Can. Yeah, can. No problem.
There was this moment,
yeah.
I can't remember when. It's like when I'm aware, this, how to say?
Never mind, slowly. Just describe exactly how you feel. Use your own word, don't worry.
When I'm aware, I like having this, like, what's the word? Yuniso
Manasara. I know.
The wise attention.
Wise attention.
Okay, when I aware, then this thing just know it and then.
Yeah, it will prompt you. It will prompt you.
After that, I can know that, I have prevented the
unwholesome. Correct. From arising.
I said, just having this Yuniso Manasikara and the pure
very important
together.
Yes.
So
it will manifest.
It's so easily to.
Yeah.
To do the what?
Yes.
The four right effort.
Yes. Very good.
It's prevent from this thing from happening.
This is what cultivation is all about. That's why you bring out a very good condition.
At the moment, I didn't know. So
yeah.
After that,
when you reflect and contemplate, then you understand. That's why I say, when you have gone through pariyatti, you have to go to phase two, patipati, put it into practice. When you put it into practice, when you really develop the daily mindfulness, the understanding, then you contemplate, reflect the second turning, develop the wisdom. Then when there is the direct seeing, you will awaken. Then when you awaken, you become very different. This understanding, as long as this form and mind is still there, it will never be lost. You don't have to remember one. That's why this is the understanding that is connected to your nature. Where else can I write? Never mind. I just write here. No need. I'll take out this. Okay, good. Oh, so you have very good. You see, this form of mind is a consciousness. So this is the form. This is the mind. When you develop the cultivation, this form and mind become very different. So this one is mind.
But after that, indirectly, so this is how we take the law.
You will come to understand that by itself. That's why you don't do, I cannot explain. So this understanding, which is the wisdom part, so when you cultivate, there is this understanding. Of course, I have to use drawing to draw. This is the understanding. Born of the first, second, or third turning. Or what we call wisdom. So this wisdom is connected to this nature. Connected. And it will stay with this form of mind. Stay with the form of mind. It will not disappear. It will only disappear when the form of mind ceases to be. When this one dies, then this one disappears. So this understanding, you don't have to remember one. The moment you awaken to it, the moment you realize it, you understand it through contemplation of one. This is what I mean by acting according to memory, it's not acting at all. Then later on, you will know how to act with wisdom. As you develop mindfulness and sensitivity and understanding and the Dhamma unfold, then all of a sudden, in the midst of life, it's like Guang Qing Lao He Sang. You remember, he say, 对也接受,不对。 也接受,无论如何都要忍住,忍入就是波罗蜜。What he is trying to advise you is, don't bother about the right and wrong. Don't worry about duality, because these are all mind-made creation, like sensual trap in it. So he said, whether right or wrong, this is the reality. You have to accept. 对也接受,不对也接受。 What you need to understand is, you must persevere. You must have the patience to persevere. To continue with mindfulness, with heedfulness, to develop the wisdom and the understanding. Then when you have that understanding, this understanding will manifest. Because people ask him, Guang Qing Lao He Sang, 什么是智慧? What is wisdom? Oh, he said, 智慧 is very beautiful. He said, sometimes when the wisdom arises already, that form and mind, that person also doesn't know one, he said. But the beauty about that wisdom is when he encounters a situation, it will manifest. And he will know what to do. He will know how to. And this is the wisdom. It will never be lost. At the point in time when you confront life, there is no fear, nothing. Suddenly this will manifest on. It will tell you, this is the Dhamma, the understanding. It will tell you, he know you, he know me. Nothing. It just form a mind. Who fear? What fear? Nothing. Then impermanent, leading to suffering. It will not get entangled. Then these are evil root. Root of all evil. Lead to karmic downfall. This will manifest. Then you know it cannot be done. And you will not do. That's why that wisdom is very powerful. Just like she saw it. That's why she can link the yoni so manasikara. Now you understand why I used to tell you all, especially Yun Chan during the early days. You remember what I tell her? You cannot learn how to let go. Cannot. Because yoniso manasikara, you cannot learn one. You have to have that wisdom. Then only you can act. Without wisdom, you cannot act. You try to cut a feeling. Impossible. But the user of thought is deluded. How can he act? That's why he will act according to memory, which is not acting at all. The conditioning, the fear, the delusion, the selfishness, the phobia and all those things, the scars of memory. But when you have the understanding, it's completely different. Means you can, like what the Buddha say, at the point or at the moment of sense experience, because you have the wisdom, you have the understanding, yoniso manasikara will arise. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. That's why you can act. You act with that wisdom. That is the true action. You understand? That's why without wisdom, without this Dhamma unfolding in you, becoming a part of you, you cannot live life. You cannot act. You can only use memory. Use your knowledge. Oh, Buddha said like that, I must not be selfish. I must be generous. Then you become good-hearted fool. Understand not? Everybody you want to help. Everywhere you want to donate. That is not with the understanding and the wisdom. When there is no condition, just let things be. Understand not? But the whole world is full of miserable people. How many can you help? Understand not? You go to India, you will know. You go to Africa, you know. You give to one big group will rush after you. And this is not helping, understand not? This is creating a situation leading to more negativity. They have their own karma. But if there is condition to help, you will know. And you will help with the appropriate understanding. That's why when there is no condition, nothing happens. When there is condition, people whom my nature doesn't know, also you will go all out and talk to them, speak to them, help them. So we should thank Ingvi for the good question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because she did it, that's why she can really bring it out. And this is something that cultivator should develop understanding. Because this type of sharing that comes from true practice is very, very different. If you have not developed it, you cannot have that experience. It's just like earlier on when she reported the accident, you remember? She was traveling with Jim going back. She was fully aware when the car skidded. Then there was no fear. Stay there. I went through that in the early days. I saw how this thing happened. Sometimes to my own car. There was one case, my own son, at the highway. We were driving home to Alstom. He wants to drive. The car really skidded, and we were so lucky, you know, we had that highway, Sungai Buloh there, and also highway, 7 lane or 6 lane on the area, very wide one. Normally a lot of car, you know, that day when he skidded and went round, until the car terbalik, you know, U-turn and terbalik, you know, skidded, there was no car. Then I didn't panic, I didn't even scold him. I said, it's okay, come, you come down, I take over the wheel. Then I feel the car not suitable to drive all the way back. So I say, never mind, go back and change car. Yeah, I got 4 cars that time. So there was another car which was also quite good condition. So that was what you will be able to do. You will be in the state of awareness. And when you are aware, it's like the whole thing slow down. And you know what to do. You don't panic. You don't yell, you don't like scream or what, no. You're just fully aware. And when you have that understanding, the mindfulness and the wisdom and the understanding, you become very different, I tell you. People panic, you don't panic. No movement inside there. You're just fully aware. And there's clarity. That part about yoniso manasikara is very good. That is how the actual cultivation happens. That's how wisdom will protect you, will allow you to have the understanding to act. That's why you must have right view, you must have wisdom, you must have understanding. you must have the awakening. It can be first turning, second turning, or third turning. Most of it is contemplative, the second turning is already good enough. Then, like she said, it's like so easy to cultivate the four-eyed effort to prevent it from arising. It cannot arise anymore because you know these are not conducive. And it is not something that the person with the Dhamma understanding will do. He cannot do. That's why I say this nature different already. It cannot violate already. It knew very clearly, not worthwhile. And when there is no condition, nothing manifests. There is no more greed to do dana, I tell you. No more greed to chase after which teacher, which monk or what. No. But when there is condition, it will manifest, it will understand. Then later on, when you are ready, your time will come. You will know how to help people. You will know how to share all this. But with the website, our website, is going to make a lot of difference. It's going to help out in a very big way because all our audio files are recorded. And with the Bodhisattva Way coming out, the transcript, it will become even more complete, the training. And this is the one that need to go into the website so that this understanding of the cultivation can be preserved for quite a long period. Because when this understanding is there, I tell you, in future, there will be a lot of great beings coming out with this understanding. Because they won't get lost during sasana. Oh, sorry, when there is no sasana in the sasana. Then by the time the next sasana, they have the parami to come again, they will be like my nature or better. And these are beautiful beings. That can have the ability. Maybe a lot of you all will take that role. You will never know. Because when you have that understanding, you develop that aspiration, the vow, then from this sasana to the next sasana is so many eons. By then you will have perfected without you knowing or beyond your wildest dream or expectation. Your nature can become very different. Then later on, when you have the ability to understand, you will have a lot of joy when you look back. Yes, I have a lot of gratitude to all those great beings, to all those teachers that have guided me, taught me, developed the affinity with my nature. And this is the role. Continue.
Sorry. One more.
Yes,
okay. I think it's more mundane.
Never mind, it's okay.
Yeah. Question of the first blessing of the 38 Mangala Sutta, not to associate with the foolish,
yes,
the Hitlers.
Yes, very so important.
We in our circle of friends or relatives or loved ones, there are many of them are like that, the foolish or the Hitlers.
Yes, but it's okay because they have their condition, understand?
How can we cultivate this love and compassion?
You can. You see, when you take that vow to liberate all beings,
if you don't haven't taken the vow.
Wait. You listen. You still haven't got that clear understanding. Even if you take the vow to liberate all beings, it doesn't mean you must help all these people, understand or not? You vow to liberate. God condition only you do, understand or not? You don't have that ideology. Oh, I have this vow. No. It's just like people say, Buddha say, red light cannot go on our traffic rule. You become rigid. No? That's why I used to share you, wherever there is any rigidity, there is no Dhamma. Dhamma is not rigid. You have to develop understanding. Your vow is to develop the love and compassion to take beings across when there is condition to take them across. And this is what will allow you to have the love and the compassion. You do it with understanding. You don't do it because you are gullible, understand? Just because I have this vow, I must help. I must take beings across. When you are not ready, how can you take? When you have not perfected all those things, how can you take? When there is no condition, how can you help people? If people refuse to be helped, you cannot. if they choose not to be helped, you also cannot help. When they is conditioned, then only something will manifest. But when they are not ready, they will not receive anything. So, avoiding the fools, you have to go one step beyond. You must recognize who are the heedless and the foolish. Then mix up with the wise and the enlightened one. You must also know who are the wise and the enlightened one. You cannot just look at the external, outward form. You have to feel them. That's why you must have the training. You must learn to listen attentively. Like my last teacher, Guy. He's a lay person, Christian belief, Christianity background. He's not a Christian, but he has a lot of Christian understanding. He was born in a Christian family. And the father did Raja Yoga. So, all this is because this nature, initially, because I don't need teacher like I used to share with you all in the various part of my sharing. I don't need to see him, actually, because the understanding my nature already have. But then the sign keep on appearing, you know, 6-7 times. You know. Then on the 6th time, I knew. I say, whoever he is, this nature, say, this is the being that my nature need to see and meet up with. I don't know why. But the moment I met him, I knew. That's how all this unfold. And you will know how to see and identify them. And you will know how to realize the important truth and understanding when it's spoken. Yeah. So, regarding your question about your relative and other things, they are only your relative because of condition. Understand that? So, if there is condition to talk to them, talk to them. Just cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, have right view. They are just the way they are. No need to look down upon them. No need to avoid them. No need. If there is condition to discuss something, discuss. But from the way you express yourself and the way you carry yourself, they will know. That's why everywhere I go, people who are very, very staunch or very what, somehow, after I talk to them, they become different. Even initially, my brothers, my sister, they're very scared to talk to me because I'm a very educated. I am very successful, and I don't really talk their lingo. But later on, when they come to realize my nature, they become very confident, and they keep on approaching me. All my brothers and sisters, they know, and I'm very easy to approach. Then they learn a lot of things from me. So it doesn't mean that when you see them like that, heedless, deluded, like, very, how you should say, like, no more hope that time. It doesn't mean that they are like that, means they are like that. Because I reflected, like my youngest brother, who are notorious like mad. Everybody give up. My parents also give up already. My brother, they all give up, my sister. Then I reflected, if he can be my brother, there must be some affinity. Then I told my father, don't worry. Tell him to come back this year when I am home. Stay for the day. Every time before the Sajak Meher, he will take the angpao and disappear, and I don't get to see him. So that year he stayed back. Then I talked to him, and he changed. And he became so beautiful after that. He go to Tsuji. Yeah, he believed what I say. And recently, from the stock market, I asked him to buy one stock. He just text me and call me. You ask my wife, you know. He said, you take from my account, he said, 5,000, do what you want to do, he said, donation or whatever, up to you. Oh, I said, you make money? He said, yeah, the stock you give to me, he sold almost 90%, he make 170,000 ringgit. Just that one stock. And money keep on coming. Well, I told him, you must be sincere, truthful, generous. Follow the Dhamma. Then when you have money, you see me, I teach you how to make money. And he remembered those words. And he didn't tell my father. And my father called me out. He said, you did tell the younger brother that. Oh, now he got money already. I said, how can he have money? He just started working. He said, I lend him. like that also can. So my father say, he 10,000, I 10,000, he just passed me 20,000, but the money never come. The alarms ring, 10:30. The money never come. But that time I bought for them public bank. You know, public bank multiplies so many fold. And that was the first time he made a lot of money. Then he have faith. No? Then he keep on asking me, the so-called Dhamma that you talk about, what is it? He said he want to learn. Oh, that was 15 years ago. No? I said, you Chinese educator, Mandarin educator, I English educator, I cannot talk to you. Then I recall Ciji. I said, you go Ciji. And he went Ciji. He can feed him so well. And he donated. And he contributed. And donated and helped raise funds. And after he did that, he became so successful. His money keep on coming out. Then he keep on asking me to make offering. Then his children also, last time he cannot study. The children all very good at study. And he grew up this way. Then he, from there, he keep on telling my mother, my brother and sister, he say, hey, we got a brother, we don't know how to make use of him. He is so good. And then that's how all the rest call me and all those things. And my mother always tell him, you can be 10% like your second eldest brother. She will be the happiest mom in the world. And after he told my mom, I said, what you say is not only true, no? Is it really, really true? He said, I didn't know. No? We have such a brother who is so knowledgeable and has so much understanding, and we don't know how to use him, no? And tap into his understanding. He used to tell my mother what, no? When my mother said he can be like 10% of what I can do, my mother will be the happiest mom in the world. He replied with a he tell my mother what, no? He say, everybody like a girl, then the world, no poor people already, all engineer already. He let reply to my mother. Then later only he understand. That's why you can turn them around when they are willing to listen to you. But initially when I talked to him, he was very, very stubborn, very obstinate, and very negative. He said, nobody likes me. Everybody hate me. He said, why for I stay back? He said, I look at you, I didn't get angry, I didn't want to argue. I said, that's why you think your thought tell you. Who hate you? What have you got to gain by hating you and look down upon you? We pity you, actually. Because you have such great family, such great condition. You can change for the better. Like mom say, learn to be 10% of what I can do. Mom and dad will be the happiest parent in the world. Why are you still not doing it? Why are you still going the old way and all those things? Then he looked at me, you know. Can me? You all will allow me, man? I say, why cannot? Then after that I suggest to him the three options and all those things. That's how he turned around. So all these are possible when there is condition. But if there is no condition, you also have to accept the reality, because he came with a different karmic condition. But it's because he came with the right condition. He has been my relative or brothers before in past life too. That's why this life, all these brothers and sisters that were in my same family, they got certain things that is related to my nature in the past. That's why I know how to help them on. Every one of them, I helped them before. So, Dhamma, when it's understood, it can be applied across the board. So, all this conditioning that tell you about how can we help all these people because they are so healed, it's all from the thought. And this thought is always the doubt. You realize or not? And what is doubt? Hindrance of mind. And what is hindrance of mind? They come from wrong thought. The way to identify wrong thought, whether it's a pure thought or a wrong thought, is to check the mind state. When you think that thought, what happened? Like the Sabba Asabha Sutta, what happened? The hindrance become more. Understand? The unarisen arisen. The doubt arisen. The one that is already there, the hindrance, they become more proliferate. These are all wrong thoughts. So thought that give rise to all this doubt and all those things, these are all from your thought, the egoic mind. Even to go the bodhisattva way, the fear and all. What have you got to lose? Just ask a simple question like the Kalama Sutta. Does it harm people when I take those vow? Does it harm myself? And when you know that there is no self, no ma, all these other thoughts, understand? So when you understand, it will really filter through and you become very different. And you have a lot of confidence. The sadha, the spiritual faculty become unshakable. We better end. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, quick one. Share your merits with all the devas. Aka sata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika vinyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana hitavata cha amehi sampadan punya sampad sabbhi deva dantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang ibina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Then you can have a simple celebration. Today is Padma Suri's birthday, 25th May 2017. Okay.
Never mind, we can use any of it. Whatever that we have. Okay, start it.